Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey. For the next hour, join Maria as she takes on topics important to you. Finances, raising children, and dealing with your husband through his tough times and yours. This is the place to be as Maria and her guests bring you a wealth of information on all of these topics. Now, Maria Bailey on Mom Talk Radio.
Welcome to this edition of Mom Talk Radio. This is Mary Donlin sitting in for Maria Bailey, and it's always a pleasure to be here with you. And we have a great show lined up for you. But before I get to our guest for the show, I wanted to just mention that it is back to school time, at least in our area, which we're in South Florida. And I think in most warmer climates, we don't follow a schedule as they do up north. So I think I was just talking to the producer. I think that up north in Chicago area and even anywhere where it gets cold, they start after Labor Day because I think they want to take advantage of all the summertime temperatures and activities. But we started, actually, I just sent my baby to kindergarten last week on Thursday. So it was quite a bittersweet emotional time for me and our whole family. So it's an interesting comparison because Maria is not doing the show today because she is taking one of her two children, oldest children, to university today. So it's a move-in day at Clemson where her oldest daughter is now going to be a freshman. So, and her son, of course, is just finished his summer boot camp at West Point. So it's an interesting comparison watching Maria and also Laura in our office prepare to send their children off to the first year of college and that journey, as opposed to mine, which is I have a seventh grader, fifth grader, and then my kindergartner. But as they've been telling me all along, that it is going to fly by, and I know it does. So, but it was funny. I took her in this morning, and she was so excited. She was up at 6 and wanted to be there by 6:30. I said, the school's not open yet, honey. You have to wait. So in her new uniform and all of her backpack supply and her supplies, she was so excited. And I got to the door to let her go and say goodbye, and I took a picture, of course, and I'm tearing up. And she looked at me in a typical attitude and said, what are you crying about? And it wasn't like, oh, mommy, what are you crying about? It was a, what are you crying about? I think I was embarrassing her. So anyway, if you're preparing for back to school and enjoying the last few weeks of summer, I hope you are enjoying it. I hope your children are enjoying it. And I did a quick little research before we started the show just to find out, because I've been overwhelmed with the class list, the supply list. The used to be when I went to school, it was you were so happy to get a box of crayons and a pencil and you went to school, maybe a new lunchbox. I had 2 pages per child. I have 3 children. So I was shocked at how much I was spending, and I looked it up. And sure enough, according to the National Retail Federation, the average spending for a parent of a student in grades K through 12 is gone up this year in 2012 to $688.62. And that's about almost to the penny what I have spent so far. I think I'm at about $675. And to me, I was just, we were just on a budget, and I did everything I could to coupon everything and check websites for coupons, and it was really, I can't get over it. And we wear uniforms too, so I don't have a whole huge clothing allowance either. So, but total expected spending is going to top $30 billion this year. So I don't know what your numbers are, but hop on facebook.com/momtalkradio and let us know what you're spending for back to school. I'll post something after the show on Facebook and ask a little question about that, what you're averaging on back to school supplies. So as we get over that, we'll move on to the show. We've got a great show lined up. We're going to be talking to the Claritin Moms on Air. Two moms are going to join us. We're going to be talking to Dr. Christine Horner, and she is a leading breast cancer prevention expert, and she's got a really good topic we're going to discuss about breast cancer and breast replacement after surgery. So we're talking to the Moms Roundtable about balancing family and career, and we'll be talking to Sean Groves, who's from Compassion.com, which is releasing children from poverty. So we will be right back. Our first guest up is Vicki Hopel, author of Duct Tape Parenting.
Even super moms need a little advice. Here's yours. More of Mom Talk Radio.
This is Mary Donlin in for Maria on Mom Talk Radio. It is a pleasure to welcome our first guest, Vicki Hopel. And I was afraid that I messed up her name on the beginning and at the intro of the show, but I didn't. So Vicki is the author of Duct Tape Parenting, A Less is More Approach to Raising Respectful, Responsible, and Resilient Kids. For over 20 years, Vicki has been sharing her common sense parenting tactics through Parenting on Track, which is a program she created to supply parents with duct tape to help them manage their mouths, controlling ways, and dictating tendencies. I love this. Hi, Vicki.
Hi.
It sounds like it's so funny. I see we have this phrase in the office called if we see a child doing something the parent has done or seems, you know, the parent's characteristics, we call it apple. Apple, so you have the apple not falling far from the tree.
Love it. So
yeah,
true.
Isn't that funny?
So true.
Yeah. So tell us, so let's get into what you want to talk about. Feeding the weed is the first thing I see. How parents nurture behaviors they can't stand, which is why I say apple.
Yeah. It's a very interesting dynamic. I think intuitively we think when we identify something our kids do that we think is either naughty or pesky or problematic or annoying or even enraging, we think, okay, that's where I need to put my focus. I want that thing to go away, that character trait, that behavior to disappear. So if I shine a light on it, if I focus all my attention on it, if I work diligently to make it go away, it will. And in fact, the exact opposite happens, because in a kid's mind, what they're really paying attention to is, what do I have to do in order to engage my parents as quickly and as effectively as I can? And it's almost always around pesky behaviors. So we teach parents how to shift their focus away from those weeds and not worry so much about trying to get rid of them, but instead focus on the character traits that they really want to see more of in their children. And as that starts to happen, the kids naturally gravitate towards those qualities we want to see in our kids.
That's a good point. I think we do, and I heard it when even my oldest was a baby. They'll take attention even if it's negative. So they might. The quickest way to get attention is to do something that's negative. Correct?
Absolutely. And you know that never changes. Even as an adult, sometimes when I want my husband to pay attention to me, I know being a little nasty will get him to snap his head around. So.
Right. Or taking the remote. In my case, anyway. Okay, so tell us about then the next thing we want to talk about, the do nothing, say nothing challenge.
Yeah, this is really kind of at the core of the duct tape parenting, is this challenge I set out to every parent I work with that suggests, listen, you spend a lot of your time nagging and reminding, lecturing, punishing, time outing, and really spending energy in ways that are not netting you the kind of benefits you want to experience in your family. So this week, I challenge you to grab some duct tape, put it on the kitchen counter, and whenever you're tempted to jump in and interfere, direct, or dictate, grab a piece of duct tape, put it over your mouth, and watch what happens. Now, I never ask a parent to do something I have not done myself, and I did, in fact, use duct tape literally 20 years ago. And here's what I learned, is that when I paused for just a few seconds, my children's brain snapped to attention, and they looked around and thought, well, Mom's quiet. She's not telling me what to do with this dish. And really, I know what to do with the dish. I'll put it in the dishwasher. And I realized that instead of helping them become more competent and cooperative, I was actually stopping that progression forward for them. So this is a chance for parents to shut up, to zip it, to watch what happens, and to get really good, accurate information about what their kids can and can't do, and where they need to start training them to become more independent and self-sufficient.
Oh, that's wonderful. Did you physically put the duct tape on the counter? You physically put it on your mouth, or just kind of hold it up and go?
I put it across my mouth because I couldn't be trusted. Like, I think I could be in charge of the world. So, you know, the kids looked at me like, what are you doing? And I thought, well, I can't talk now. And duct tape hurts when you pull it off.
I was thinking that.
So you're not inclined to make that mistake a whole lot.
That's good. That's really good advice, I think, and it's a good tip. I think we do, and I'm a very guilty of, I just jump in because I feel like I have to be Switzerland or constantly being the mediator and being neutral and trying to neutralize anyway, not necessarily neutral. So, and this last one, I think we have time for one more tip or strategy. Band-Aids on bullet wounds. This is really interesting because we, and you can talk about it, of course, on your side, but I did the counting method with three of my children. It only worked on one of them.
I think that's pretty typical, is we identify a problem or a behavior that, you know, we'd like to see less of, and we think, okay, I'll start with a little bit of nagging. Well, that didn't work. I think I'll jump over to choices. Well, heck, that didn't work. I'll try 1, 2, 3. And a parent ends up in this cycle of just kind of putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound that 10 minutes later springs open, and the same behavior is back. And oftentimes the behavior gets worse instead of better. So one of the things we suggest is for parents to just start to look at all these pesky behaviors as symptoms rather than problems that need a quick fix. And that allows them to kind of step back and assess the situation using common sense so that they don't feel so inclined to jump in and make things worse.
Oh, that's wonderful. So where else? You have a lot more that we can't even get to in this segment. Where do we find information? First of all, about the book, which is Duct Tape Parenting?
Yes.
Yes, Duct Tape Parenting, A Less is More Approach to Raising Respectful, Responsible, Resilient Kids. Your website is parentingontrack.com. Can we get more tips like this on that website?
You sure can, and you can also purchase the book straight from Amazon.com. Just type in Duct Tape Parenting.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Vicki. And when we come back, we'll be joined by the Children's Claritin Moms on Air crew. We'll be right back. I do it like a Whitman's box of chocolates. I just open, I take one bite, I go, that was really good. I throw out the rest. And I let my kids do the same thing because I feel like by the end of the night, we've gotten it all out of our system.
Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
Welcome back. It is time for the Claritin Moms on Air segment, brought to you by our friends at Children's Claritin, the number one pediatrician-recommended non-drowsy over-the-counter allergy brand. Wow, that's a mouthful. Our Children's Claritin Mom crew members will be joining us this season to share their tips on how to help minimize allergy suffering for their families. And for more information on treating your child's allergies, please visit www.claritin.com. And it is my pleasure to introduce Allison. And Allison is a 30-something wife and mom to four kids, in addition to being a full-time college student and blogger at Misadventures in Baby Raising, which the blog site is misadventuresinbabyraising.blogspot.com. Welcome, Allison.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Did you say in the break, did you have four kids or five?
I have four children of my own, and my stepson, who is 14, lives with us as well. So you do have five.
Okay. All right. Yes. So you've got a house full. Okay.
Yes, I do.
So, yeah. So you know all about what we're going to talk about. What would be the number one tip you'd like to share with other moms of allergy sufferers?
You know, in all areas of motherhood, I've found that my biggest thing is to always be prepared. I have a first aid kit that I take with me everywhere I go, and inside I have lots of different first aid supplies.
That's a great idea. Actually, I should probably look in my – I think my friend also said she carries one in her car.
Right.
Can you share one item that you bring with you that help treat your children's allergies?
Yes, I always have – Children's Claritin, great chewables with me. I love them because there's absolutely no mess. The kids love the great flavor, which, if you know kids, it's hard to find a medicine that they'll take. And it definitely helps curb their allergy symptoms. So they're awesome to put in there.
That's a product that we use as well. My 12-year-old takes the grape chewables. So you never leave home without them, right?
No.
Yeah. Do you have any other allergy tips you'd like to share?
I think one of the best ways I've found to help cut down on allergy symptoms at home is by running an air purifier and changing the filters on the air purifier and also my heating and air conditioning filters often. I found that it really helps to reduce all of my kids' symptoms.
That's a good tip. Do you have it? I think you do one per room, right? An air purifier only covers so much square footage.
Right. We have three in our house. We have one in like the main living area and then one in each of the children who have the worst allergy symptoms in their rooms. It really helps.
That's a good point. And then of course the air conditioner and heating filters are important too.
Absolutely.
So you're covered both at home and on the go, right?
Absolutely.
Great. So real quick, because we have a little bit of time, so tell us about what you blog about at Misadventures in Baby Raising.
Misadventures in Baby Raising is what I would call a parenting blog. I do talk about parenting tips, try to help mom and dad, give them some advice on how to survive. I have five, so a few things over the years.
You've got some advice to give, right?
Excuse me?
Said you've got advice to give, right?
I hope it's good advice. Most of the time,
sure.
It's kind of iffy. But I do parenting and product reviews and giveaways and recipes, just all kinds of different things that I think the other parents might enjoy reading.
Right. Are you on Pinterest yet? Speaking of recipes, I've I started building up my page, and the recipes on there are just. That's what everybody seems to be pinning.
Pinterest is the most addicting thing I have ever found. And, being a blogger,
right?
You find different things all the time. It's the most addicting thing ever for me.
It's a time drain. It
is.
I'd have to say it's almost worse than Facebook, and that's pretty bad. So.
Right.
So do you have a Facebook page, a fan page, or are you just sticking with the blog?
I do have a Facebook fan page. It's, Misadventures in Baby Raising on Facebook. You can like that if you want. I would love that. That would make me happy. Whoever is listening.
All right. All right. Wonderful. Thanks so much for sharing your blog information, and thanks for being here to talk about Children's Claritin. And to our listeners, this fall we'll be joined by more Children's Claritin Mom Crew members with their own tips and suggestions. And always remember to use Children's Claritin as directed, please, and visit Claritin.com for information. And when we come back, we'll be joined by Dr. Christine Horner, who is the leading breast cancer prevention expert and author of Waking the Warrior Goddess. And she'll be talking to us about screening hype is overblown. We'll be right back after this short break.
Of America, this hour belongs to you. It's Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
Thanks for joining us on Mom Talk Radio. This is Mary, guest hosting for Maria today. Our next guest is Dr. Christine Horner, who is a leading breast cancer prevention expert and author of the award-winning book, Waking the Warrior Goddess. Welcome, Dr. Horner.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. So from your bio, it says that you are a nationally known surgeon, author, and professional speaker with two board certifications. And what really struck me and stuck out in your bio is that you successfully ran a national campaign to pass laws requiring insurance companies to pay for breast reconstruction following mastectomy. So that must have been quite a crusade to get that passed.
It certainly was. Yeah, back in 1993, the insurance companies belovedly decided that they were going to stop paying for breast reconstruction because it wasn't medically necessary. And the letter that drove me over the edge was one saying that they weren't going to pay for it because it was on an organ with no function. Oh. Well, you just said that to the wrong person.
Yes, so didn't they?
I did do that national campaign. It took 5 years, but we did get it passed, and now it's federal law that breast reconstruction must be covered if the insurance companies pay for mastectomies, which they do. But during that campaign, the thing that really struck me more than anything else was that, yes, we need breast reconstruction, but the most important thing is trying to end this breast cancer epidemic. I was watching my patients get younger and younger. Finally, I was doing women in their 20s, you know, with breast cancer. And then my own mom developed breast cancer and died within 9 months while I was running that campaign. So I thought, you know what? I'm finding the answers, which I have done and are in my book, and really spreading the word about what women can do to dramatically lower the risk of developing this horrible disease.
Right. So you went from your being a plastic surgeon to an expert in breast cancer, and you've got some good tips for our listeners on how to have the best of health.
Exactly. There's just a few things that you can do that, you know, the amazing thing is when I went through the medical literature, I found that if you just do one thing, you cut your risk in half. If you do more than one thing, those things will multiply up together rather than just adding up together. So it can be as simple, you know, it was very difficult for people to change their diet and lifestyle sometimes, but I always say, you know, you can start with some simple supplements. And we found that things like turmeric, the Indian spice, the bright yellow orange color in curry, is the number one anti-cancer spice, and it cuts the risk of all sorts of different kinds of cancers, but a huge cancer fighter for breast cancer. Green tea, you know, which is considered the number one anti-cancer drink, and it inhibits the growth of about 11 different kinds of cancers. And you combine those two together, they have synergistic effects. So turmeric will enhance the anti-cancer effects of green tea by 8 times, and green tea enhances the anti-cancer effects of turmeric by 3 times. And
wow.
Then,
hold on a second. I know there's so many green teas now. Is there specific kind that we should be drinking?
Well, organic is the most important.
Oh, yeah.
There's some about Japanese, but getting organic so you don't have any pesticides, or, you know, they've even found DDT residue in some of the Chinese ones. So making sure that you get organic, yeah.
Right.
And then ultimately, you know, what we find is that cancers come mostly from a breakdown in the immune system. So that can be from, you know, having too much stress in your life, eating, you know, bad things like sugar and saturated animal fats and trans fats and so forth. But all these things can knock out the immune system. So in order to keep our immune system healthy, there are certain things that we can do, and that gives us a huge fighting edge against not only cancers but also any kind of, you know, diseases and flus and so forth. And so there's a supplement called AHCC, which is a mushroom formula, and HCC is kind of special because it's made from the little roots from the shiitake mushrooms and tiny little molecules that absorb into our system very rapidly, and has been found to stimulate every single cell in our immune system, inhibits the growth of many different kinds of cancers, and if you have cancer, it helps to improve your outcome and even take away some of the side effects of chemotherapy.
So where would we find that?
And then, you know, really trying to eat as many plants as you can. So a plant-based diet is the thing that's been found to keep us the healthiest, because plants are packed full of nutrients and vitamins and minerals and various different chemicals that actually act like chemotherapy without the dangerous side effects. So adding lots of fresh, you know, plants that are organically grown, again, are the best things. And then a lot of things that we've heard, you know, some of this is new information. Exercise, you know, can cut your risk by 30 to 50%. Really working on stress reduction, because, again, it knocks out our immune system. And so adding some effective stress-reducing technique, from breathing exercises to meditation to qigong or yoga, you know, has all been found to be effective. Getting enough sleep. So we find going to bed by 10 o'clock and getting up by 6 o'clock are the optimal hours to sleep. And there's really huge statistical data showing that if you stay up after midnight, you increase your risk not only of breast cancer, but heart disease, diabetes, obesity, and so forth. So just getting to bed earlier is extremely effective.
Right.
Also avoiding bad things, like I said, red meat, saturated animal fats, junk food, you know, the standard American diet. These are all things that really contribute to the growth of breast cancer, but also ill health in general.
Right.
So get out there and move. Get your rest.
Right.
Eat your plants. Take a few supplements.
Right. And you were talking about, so I was asking earlier, HCC supplement, the turmeric. Are those things, obviously, you'd find in a health food store, or can you find them on a grocery store shelf? Where do our listeners find them?
So, you know, mostly health food stores, but a simple thing to do, if you just go to my website, which is drchristinehorner.com, drchristinehorner.com. I've got information on my website about it, and also I've got it available on my website for purchase. And I created a supplement called Protective Breast Formula that came out about 6 or 7 years ago, and we're getting great results with that and reversing the early warning signs that we see with thermography, which is the infrared picture of the breast. And we found that it'll reverse the early warning signs within 8 to 12 weeks. And it's got turmeric, green tea, maitake mushrooms, grape seed extract, vitamin D, and a couple different things from cruciferous vegetables like the broccoli, cauliflower, and kale family, which has got unbelievable anti-cancer properties and something that should be included in our diet every day.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much. This is really, we packed a lot in this little segment, didn't we?
Really quickly.
Yeah, and I, you know what, I will also put it on the Mom Talk Radio Facebook page, and of course it'll be on momtalkradio.com for our listeners if they want to follow a link to drchristinehorner.com. So very quickly, where can our listeners find Waking the Warrior Goddess, the book, and anything else that's coming up for you in the future?
Sure. So Waking the Warrior Goddess is available on Amazon.com or on my website if you'd like an autographed copy, drchristinehorner.com. Again, drchristinehorner.com. And in there I've got all my speaking schedules coming up, too. I've got lots of speaking engagements, Florida and the whole Midwest area coming up here in September. And I also send out a newsletter, so if you'd like to sign up for that, then you can get notifications about where I'll be and different radio interviews such as the one today.
Right. Thank you so much for being on Moms Talk Radio, Dr. Christine Horner. So, and when we come back, we'll be joined by the Moms Roundtable, who will discuss balancing family and career. We'll be right back after the break.
Even super moms need a little advice. Here's yours. More of Mom Talk Radio.
Welcome back. This is my favorite part of the show. It is the Moms Roundtable, and we are going to be talking about a really compelling topic for many of our listeners, including myself and my two guests, Nina and Shelby. Nina has two children, ages 6 and 5, and she blogs at thechicmomsguide.com and on Twitter at Nina Sutton. And Shelby has 1 4-year-old, and she blogs at fatheaddog.com and tweets at fatheadtweet. So welcome, ladies.
Welcome. Hello.
Thanks for being with us. Let's talk about balancing family and career. Let's start with Nina first. Nina, do you and I hesitate when I say this. I know you work because you're a mom, so that's full time. Do you have a second job? Let's put it that way.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yes, I'm a part-time blogger and TV host. So balancing is always a little bit tough because I never know, you know, when I get a position, if I'm on camera, on air, that could be a day, it could be a few days. So, you know, having my systems in place helps me, but yes.
And Shelby, what about you?
Yes, I'm a blog, of course, but I'm a magazine editor for Success Magazine in Dallas. And so I run the .com, so...
Oh, wonderful. So you're both in media. Isn't that fine? It's just coincidental anyway. Nina, you made a good point when you started out. You talk about systems in place. Tell us what you mean by that and maybe a little tips on setting up that system.
Well, systems meaning, you know, making sure I always have my calendar book with me, writing everything down, scheduling online, and even in my physical calendar because – you know, that's going to be with you all the time, and there's something about writing things down in every minute of the day so you can prioritize when's the kids' time, when's your work time, and it really is the only way that I can make it happen. Otherwise, nothing happens well, and everything gets mixed up.
Right, right. I've said it before on the show. I have my best friend's an attorney, and she schedules everything and then also shares it with her husband on a joint calendar online and then on paper everywhere. So she even schedules like her yoga hour and a half, you know. So
I do the same. Yes, you have to. Otherwise it won't happen.
Right, right. And then a guest we had on a few months ago said she schedules dates with her husband, too. So you have to, you know, Shelby.
It's a meeting request.
Yes, exactly. Shelby, how do you handle childcare then? So do you work, first of all, did you work full time for the magazine?
Yes.
And how do you handle childcare?
We've got a great preschool that that my son John goes to. And, you know, my husband and I have a system where I always drop them off in the morning and my husband picks them up in the morning. So Nina, I completely agree with your point about having a system, something that I kind of harp on a lot at work and I use in my personal life is to get it out of your head. You know how stressful you get when you've got a million tasks floating around in head, calendar items, to-do lists, all of those things. When they're taking energy in your head by remembering them, you're not being able to do them, you know, productively. So I do make lots of lists. I write it down. I put it on a calendar. I schedule it in Outlook. Everything that I can do to spend my mental energy actually doing the task instead of worrying about what have I forgotten.
That's a great point, Shelby, because I run into that a lot with three children and I work for, obviously, for on Maria's team. It's very, very difficult to keep your head in the game if you're not organized on the other side going, okay, who's getting my kids? Did I forget something? And right?
Yeah, and you know, something that I know you probably feel this way, and Nina, and I think a lot of moms out there, that I feel like when I'm excelling at work, somehow I feel like I'm slacking at home. And when I'm excelling at home, I feel like I've been slacking at work. And so balancing the two is really, really critical.
That's a good point. Nina, do you feel that do you feel that way, or do you ever feel like, ooh, I've got a balance going this day, week, or month?
Oh, absolutely. For example, this summer, you know, now that my kids are at an age where I'm really, really engaging them and there's no naps anymore and I want to be with them because it's summer vacation and I know in a few years, you know, they're going to start growing up. So I really do believe that, you know, and you feel guilty either way. I'm not doing enough for work. I'm not doing enough for my children. And I had to make, for example, the decision, like the mental decision that the last few weeks I would just focus on my children and I would have to put work sort of to the side.
Back burner.
Still focus, you know, focus on it. But first of all, you know, this is it. And then once school starts, I can go back to pumping up the volume with work.
That's exactly how I feel this week because I was saying at the beginning of the show, my kindergartner started today. Today was my youngest child's first day of kindergarten. Mm-hmm. And I feel like next week I'm going to be able to just kind of turn the spotlight back onto work. I think you both would agree, right, Shelby?
Definitely.
Well, thank you so much, ladies, for joining us. Nina, and you blog at thechicmomsguide.com and on Twitter at Nina Sutton. And Shelby, who blogs at fatheaddog.com, right, Shelby?
Mm-hmm.
I said it like five times. And tweets at fatheadtweet. And thank you so much, ladies. We will have links to your blogs at momtalkradio.com. So hopefully, again, when the school year does start for your children, if it hasn't already started, that we all find the critical balance. And when our last guest for the show is Sean Groves, Christian recording artist and blogger for Compassion.com. We'll be right back. Of Mom Talk Radio, I am pleased to introduce Sean Groves. Sean is a singer, songwriter, speaker, husband, and father. You can find out more about Sean at seangroves.com, and that's S-H-A-U-N. And Sean also blogs for Compassion International. Welcome to the show, Sean.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you. So tell us a little bit about Compassion International.
Well, gosh, I first got involved with Compassion, back in 2005 when I was invited to go see their work in El Salvador, and I was impressed, and I've done nothing since then but travel around speaking and singing and blogging on behalf of Compassion International. Compassion started in the 1950s during the Korean War. There was an American evangelist and pastor named Everett Swanson, and he took a trip to Korea to encourage U.S. servicemen who were stationed there But while he was there, God changed the trajectory of his life. Walking one morning, early in the morning, with a missionary friend of his, he and his friend witnessed children piled in doorways, orphan children, trying to stay warm through the night. And as the sun would rise, these men in government trucks would back up to a pile of children just one at a time, and they would hop out of the truck and shake the kids to scatter them away. They didn't want the world to see that they had an orphan problem that they didn't know how to address. And as Everett Swanson and his friend watched these men scatter one pile of children, there were two children who were still lying motionless on the ground. And they watched in horror as these men in government uniforms picked these kids up by wrists and ankles and threw them in the back of their truck as if they were trash and drove away to the next pile. And they repeated that over and over again. So Everett Swanson's heart was broken, and his missionary friend, seizing the moment, asked him a powerful question. He said, Everett, now that you know, what will you do about it? So Everett took in a few of these orphans himself, left his ministry here in the U.S., moved to Korea, and took in some of these orphans. And the numbers grew over the years, and they grew so large that he could no longer take care of these impoverished children himself. And so he printed their pictures up on these little cards, and he came to America, and he spoke at a church, and he handed out these cards that had the names and faces of children and their birthday, and he asked people to sponsor them. And so people gave a certain amount of money every month to meet that child's needs. And so Everett Swanson invented child sponsorship. Compassion International is what that became. So today, because Everett Swanson answered that one question, now that you know what we do about it, 1.7 million children in 26 of the world's poorest countries are now having their physical and spiritual needs met. And that those needs are able to be met because people called sponsors give money every month to underwrite that child's care.
Okay. So it's basically compassion. And I will give a link to our listeners, compassion.com/momtalkradio, because I think we are... at some point, just everybody needs to do their part. So how can our listeners become involved? Go to that link and then check out the website.
Yeah. So if you go to compassion.com, if you go to compassion.com, you can, the /momtalkradio, you can actually choose from children in 26 of the world's poorest countries to sponsor. And so just like those packets that Everett Swanson had printed up and took to churches, back in the 50s, on this website, this is the, you know, the 21st century version of this, that we have pictures of children, real children, and the country that they're in and their birth date, and a button under each one that says sponsor me. So you can click that button, the big right. yellow button under each child, and you can become their sponsor. Some of these children have a heart icon over their picture, and that just lets you know that that child has been waiting an unusually long time for a sponsor.
Okay.
And it'll tell you how long. Some have waited, you know, 190, 200 days for a sponsor. That's a long time. And if people have a specific gender or country or age or even birthday, you can also search for that over on the right side of the screen at compassion.com/momtalkradio. So you can search for a child. You know, in my family, we sponsor a child for each of my children.
Oh,
so it's really handy for us to go and to find a child who shares their birthday. And that
right.
way they have a pen pal that they can pray for every night, and they can save up money to be able to float some of that sponsorship every month. And so it's a good way for our kids to learn generosity and compassion, too.
Absolutely. That's a great idea. And it's actually probably be neat to give somebody as a gift if you have somebody on your list, which
yeah,
I know I
yeah.
do, that always never needs anything. You know, what do you get that person that's so hard to buy
right.
for, grandmas, aunts, uncles? Thank
yeah.
you so much, Sean, for joining us. Again, the link is compassion.com/Mom Talk Radio. And thank you to all our listeners for joining us on this edition of Mom Talk Radio. We hope you'll join us again next week for a great show. Have a wonderful week. And don't forget to check out our website at momtalkradio.com for this show and other archive shows. And check out Facebook, because I'm going to post links to anybody or everybody that was on the show today. So have a great week. We'll hope you'll join us next week.